Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My next guest is Mr. Guy Mitchell. Guy Mitchell is a member of the Phi Tau Sigma, the International Honor Society for Mechanical Engineers, and was elected to Distinguished Engineering Fellow by the College of Engineering, University of Alabama in 1995. His book, Global Warming, The Great Deception, explains what he believes to be the flawed claims of global warming caused by human activity. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm fine. I hope you are.
I am, and thank you for the interview. But I would be remiss if, in the face of what this country and the world is facing right now with the heat, that is really, you know, unprecedented. To ask you, how can you believe that, you know, and I'm an old guy. I've been around. I'm 68 years old. And so I remember some things and some times. But as hot as things are right now, I don't remember them in my lifetime. You don't believe that global warming is real?
No. And I'll tell you why I don't. And by the way, I think a lot of people share your opinion and concerns, and I understand that. I think it's important to distinguish between weather and climate. In my book, I make two points. Well, I make more than two, but I make two fundamental points about the flawed science, the pseudoscience that's used in the fraudulent global warming hypothesis. The first one is that if you look at the world's temperature databases, they're maintained by NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, for the lower atmosphere, which is the first 8 kilometers of the Earth's atmosphere, the world's oceans, and the landmass. You see there's been virtually no global warming since the measurements, accurate measurements, were begun with satellites in 1979. So the database refutes the allegation that there's been global warming. And that's the most important thing to understand. The second thing is if one analyzes the fraudulent global warming hypothesis that's put forward by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change, and you look at the physics of what happens when a CO2 molecule absorbs a long-range infrared photon that's emitted from their surface, you see that the downwelling heat flux, that the heat that is returned to Earth by the addition of 120 parts per million of CO2 concentration, is de minimis. It is noise in the system. And so the science, the analytics using thermodynamics, spectroscopy, quantum mechanics, atmospheric physics, refutes the concept. And then the database disproves the claim. So the truth of the matter is we have had historical periods when it's been this hot. I was reading the other day, and I've not done the research on this, but I think there was a heat wave in Europe back in 2009. So I think it's just the fact that the media is focusing on it. I think certain politicians are focusing on it, and they're confusing short-term weather effects with a longer-term change in the temperature databases of the Earth's biosphere.
So I clearly am not going to possibly sit here and have a conversation with you about something I'm not equipped to have from the standpoint of whether or not global warming is real. But I will say that for every person who believes that global warming is not real, there are also scientists who will refute the information that you just said.
Oh, there's no question, and that's part of the issue, and it really goes back to the formation. Well, it goes back actually to the 1960s with a couple of scientists to, well, actually, there have been competing theories. One of the major proponents of the global warming hypothesis, named Dr. Steven Schneider, who passed away in 2010, and he has an impeccable academic CV. Dr. Schneider was a proponent of global cooling in the 1970s and predicted that we could have an ice age by 2020 and that the temperature of the Earth would, and there is no average temperature of the Earth, by the way, that it would drop by 6.5 degrees centigrade. And he later reversed his position and became an advocate of global warming. So there are certainly scientists, primarily those who are engaged in research and need the funding, who promote the fraudulent global warming hypothesis. There's no question. And a lot of them are resident in the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change. Conversely, those that are not dependent on research funding, who are distinguished scientists like Dr. Richard Lindzen, who was the MIT Sloan Atmospheric Physics Chair for 30 years at MIT, and plenty of others have said it's hogwash. So, you know, it just depends. Unfortunately, the issue's moved from being one of science to being one of a political
So again, you use the verbiage fraudulent, and so for every person and scientist that you can run off or talk about, the other side can ask questions that will lead people to the belief that there is something that is going on and that man is causing it. And for those of us who don't believe, so do you believe that man has done anything at all to impact and affect, excuse me, climate change in the world?
None whatsoever. And I use the term fraudulent advisedly. In a legal sense, it means an intent to defraud. And I'm of the opinion that there are many climate scientists, particularly resident in the UNIPCC, who know that the hypothesis that they put forward, that a CO2 molecule absorbs a photon, a long-wave infrared photon around 15 microns in wavelength, and then re-radiates that photon to the Earth's surface and heats the surface up, as the lawyers would say, they either know or should know that is, if they have any understanding of thermodynamics, they have any understanding of spectroscopy or quantum mechanics, they should know, and a lot of them don't, by the way, they should know that that's not so. And so anytime I tell you something that I know is not true, I am evidencing an effort to persuade you to a false truth, and that's the problem we have today.
Let's do this. Let's bring in Tom from LA. Hey, Tom, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people are the government ultimately, and we can never forget that. Number two, the Republican Party is the party of murder and pro-death. I'm sorry. Sir, you do exactly what it is on whether it's left or right all the time. And this is the problem that we have with money in politics. The problem we have with money in politics is the government cannot be trusted because of the fact that they're taking big money from these fossil fuel companies. And the thing is, you get a guy like this that comes on the air, he says the word fraud probably 12 different times in every little thing that he says. He does the talking points, which is really, really kind of cool, I guess, if you're into messaging. So I do bravo you for that, sir. I give you a compliment for that. But he's a quack. He's a fraud. Crazy. Like, the problem is scientist is science. And science can never be proven one way or another way, and that's one of the reasons why it is that people can't believe in things like climate change or viruses or whatever it might be, because it's always changing and things are always happening. It's also a way for people like the guests to be able to come on and say, I can say unequivocally that there is no climate change. I believe him a little bit more if he said, yeah, you know, I do believe in some things, that we have more people on the planet now. I do believe that the CO2 that we're emitting from the air is actually affecting climate change. Okay, I could go along with that. But the thing is, what these people do, just like the people that did with COVID, they say, oh, 100% sure this is what it is. And then you have a bunch of sheep that just follow them off a cliff. I want to tell you, sir, you may believe in what you are saying. And you may be also another, you know, grifter like Donald Trump or some of the other people that are taking money from the big billionaire class. But I'll tell you what, if you have any children, you should really, really search your conscience and wonder what the hell it is you're doing.
Hey, Tom, let's let him respond. Tom, let him respond.
Well, thanks for your comments, Tom. And half of what you just said make an important point in my book, and I want to come back to that. Now, I have 3 children and 6 grandchildren, so like anybody who has progeny, I have a vested interest in the thermal well-being of the planet. But unfortunately, you hit on an important point. It's got to be a political issue. It's been taken out of the realm of science. And if one looks at it, what I would submit to you is, if you buy a copy of my book, Global Warming, The Great Deception, it's on Amazon.com, and you read it, I think you, if you do it with an open mind, you'd be convinced that the case that I make for the science, based on first principles of science, proven principles of thermodynamics, spectroscopy, quantum mechanics, atmospheric, demonstrates that the CO2 molecule plays essentially no role in the moderation of the Earth's climate. It's all about water vapor. Water vapor is the greenhouse gas that is effective in doing that. So, but you're exactly right about this. If you want to understand the motivation behind the proponents of global warming, follow the money. You know, in the case of the UN, it's about funding. There's been $1 trillion spent on climate change research since the 1980s. About $5 billion a year spent on cancer. The UN has stated its intent is to address socioeconomic inequalities worldwide through the auspices of climate.
So, Guy, hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. Hang on a second. Tom, hang on.
Yeah, sure.
We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.